He started up the Vorsova and left us in a ring of dust.
"Can I breathe now?" said Hans.
"You can breathe." And there in the dusty bypass we thanked the Lord for having allowed us to make one mistake in order to get us out of another. We made the border crossing at Brest. Hans could hardly contain his excitement as the barrier gate swung open. He insisted on using his Russian with the customs officials. I doubt if they could understand one word in 10, but they were tremendously complimented that he was making the effort. We must have been among the very first cars to enter without an in-tourist guide. The guards were interested in their novel job of inspecting our papers and effects themselves, and they were delighted when we presented them with American dollars for exchange.
"Russia and United States make insults," one of the guards said in English with a wink, "but for these we forgive."
He took the dollar bills.
₹1 for $1. That makes it easy.
At last came time for the inspection of the car itself. Hans and I had agreed ahead of time on the technique that we used ever afterwards whenever two people were crossing a border together. Only one of us would be talking at a time. The other would be constantly in prayer. Prayer that God's will would be done in each detail of the inspection. Prayer for the country we were entering, beginning with these employees at the border. In this case, the guard asked us to open a couple of suitcases, but he hardly more than glanced inside. What he wanted to see was the Opel motor. He asked me some technical questions, then apparently felt embarrassed at having shown unofficial curiosity, and slammed the hood shut. He walked back with us through the little garden in front of the customs shed, stamped our papers, and wished us farewell. We were across. Chapter 17. Russia at first glance. It was Hans's first trip into Russia, but not mine. The year Mark Peter was born, I had accompanied a group of young people from Holland, Germany, and Denmark to a youth congress in Moscow, much like the one in Warsaw years before. We were gone only 2 weeks, travelling by train, and of course following an official schedule. Nevertheless, as a scouting trip, it had been of enormous value. Several scenes especially had impressed me. They came back to me now as Hans and I drove across the vast Russian landscape. The drive from Brest to Moscow was 700 miles. I passed the time recalling for Hans those memories of my earlier trip. The hotel where I had been assigned, in reality a mammoth barracks, was in a village 8 miles outside of Moscow. On our first free evening I walked into the village in search of the church. It was a Russian Orthodox onion dome structure, which had obviously once been the heart of the village, standing in front of the town's only well. Now it was in complete decay.